This is going to be, I'm lucky this isn't smell-o-radio. Is that a thing? You've heard of smell-o-vision? If this was smell-o-radio, it'd be bad. Because I've got a couple of women up here who, if you've seen things floating around on socials, this is the week that shower strike is going on. Although the two women here,
they look clean.
Sarah and Carice from Well Aware, you look like you're showered, but then it's going to go downhill this week, right?
Yes, today is day two, so things are still okay.
I did see, and we'll get to what you do and all that stuff, but I did see there was a story written about you got one of the middle schools to participate, or maybe more than one, and there was a story about it in Statesman or Austin 360 about how these middle schoolers are participating in shower strike to raise money and awareness for building water wells in Africa. What school did I read about? Do you know?
So it's a lot of the middle schools in Round Rock ISD have signed up. So we have a couple of teachers there who have really just taken the shower strike torch and run with it. And we have a lot of schools signed up, and they're just all in, and it's really exciting. And there's been lots of stories. Spectrum News did one, just some obscure radio stations. Yeah, all over the place. So it's really exciting.
That'll bring the news, a shower strike.
I can't think of a worse age category to take showers away from than middle schoolers who are already funk factor 100 at the time. So let's back up here a little bit and give some context here. The shower strike is going on this week. If you see some information about it, somebody you know participating, like me, who has raised $0.
Oh, JB.
So embarrassed. I've never asked for money online, and now here I am at zero right now.
We have some tips. You can do it.
If you see that, donate. Now, here we're going to back up and tell you why, okay? So I met this crew at least 3 years ago.
Two and a half.
Because, well, before I met you, before I interviewed you, Sarah, this is Sarah Evans, founder of Well Aware, and Carice Sacco, who, what is your role there?
The director of operations.
All things.
And all things.
So I was very involved for many, many years with Austin Woman magazine, and you were on the cover of Austin Woman at one time. And it was an Austin Woman luncheon. So I was always the one dude there. I was the one.
Somebody had to do it.
I was the one dude. And because you were on the cover, there was a panel of some of the people on the cover. And that's where I heard Sarah speaking about her nonprofit that she started. Gave up practicing law. You'll love this, John, who's both of us been around lawyers his whole life.
I've got tons of lawyer jokes.
I'm recovering.
I have such right to take any lawyer joke because it's like a religion. You can make fun of your own religion.
Exactly right.
You can make fun of lawyers if you grew up with them. And you do. Okay, go ahead.
But this woman who's sitting next to me, Sarah, was on this panel, and I was like, wow, that seems like a really cool woman. I'd like to meet her someday. It was just really good. And then I forgot about you.
I hear that all the time.
And then... I was doing some work for another organization that was a women's organization, and someone teed up, hey, you should interview Sarah Evans about Well Aware, and I was hosting this podcast for a women's organization. Again, very bizarre. I'm the dude that's always in that arena, but hey, I'll take it. And we've become friends since then, and I'm going to tee up a lot of this for you, where you normally... you give all the details of Well Aware, but I'm so well versed on it, I can't sit here and play dumb.
This is so great, though. I don't have to.
And John, you feel free to chime in with a lot of questions because this is new to you. All right. So you left practicing law to go start a nonprofit. Lost your home. Well, not lost your home, but.
Well, yeah, it went away from me.
It went away from you, and somebody else is living there now.
That's correct.
And
they don't let me in.
What happened?
I couldn't afford the mortgage anymore because I was building the nonprofit.
She gave up practicing law to start a nonprofit. Gave up a nice place, and you showed a picture to me once, a really cute little Porsche 911.
Yeah, convertible.
You were living the life.
I know, right?
See, I was like, when I started the foundation, I was bartending. Like, I didn't, that wasn't I didn't leave anything. You know what I'm saying?
I used to bartend too. That's a pretty great job.
It is a great job, but I didn't sacrifice anything. Yeah, this is, wow, now I feel bad. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, it's not an essential element to describing the nonprofit, but I think it shares with people the heart that's behind it, right?
Well put.
And figures out how to start a nonprofit, which is not easy. Mm-mm. And to start a successful nonprofit is not easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, odds are stacked against you. There are...
I got to step in here real quick. So, because of my experience of starting a nonprofit, people come to you, and they'll probably come to you as well. Uh-huh. And they come to me and they say, hey, I'm thinking my mom, my dad, this happened to them or whatever. You know, they get passionate to a cause. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, and that I want to start a nonprofit. How do I do it? I go, first thing is, don't do that.
I say that too.
Right. Do not do that. Find someone that's already doing it and go help them.
Yeah, I do too. I say just the first thing you need to do is research thoroughly what is already out there.
Yeah.
And if you can play a part in amplifying what's already being done, because the redundancy in the industry is really unfortunate.
Right.
Okay. Now, this is where it gets really good. And keep going with this, because, yes, you've probably heard of some charities that build water wells in Africa. But what you don't hear about is when they fail.
That's true.
So, Sarah, tell us, and Carice, feel free to chime in, about what looks really sexy to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
They show up, they get their photo ops. Oh, this corporation's helping build a water well, changing a community in Africa. But what happens to most of those?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get to what's different about your organization, Well Aware.
Yeah. So, you know, no, I don't think anybody has any malintent. Everybody wants to do some good. Unfortunately, in the water charity sector, only about 40% of the water systems that are installed last. And so billions
that's a
of,
year after implementation. After,
thank you. Yes. Yeah. After a year that they've been installed. So if billions of dollars are being put into this kind of work, you can do the math and realize the colossal waste of resources in our industry. And it's not just the waste of donor dollars. It's also these communities really rally around these water systems and they invest their own resources and time. And families will literally move in closer to the water system. And then in 8 months, it breaks down and their lives are worse off than they even were before. So when I first... I hadn't even been to Kenya before I raised money and decided to drill a water well there. But when I went over the first time, I felt the incredible impact that we could have doing this clean water work, but I also saw that most things were broken. So when I did give up all of those things we just talked about, I decided I wanted to put together a team and a model to do the work well, to do these systems that would last and that respects communities and has what we call our ripple effect. So the fact that the system is functioning several years after it's installed should be a given. What we like to see and what we call our success is that disease rates are dropping and more kids are going to school. The overall economy is going up and agriculture is thriving. And that's when we say at the end of the day, this project has been a success. And that's just not an industry norm, unfortunately.
I'm going to jump a little bit forward just to help John out so he can pepper you with questions, both of you. But how long has Well Aware been around since the first well went in?
9.5 years.
Yeah, January 2010.
Yeah.
And you've built how many?
We lost track. 65
yes. wells. Okay, 65 wells, and best rounding number you can come up with, how many people would you say that's affected?
Little more than 250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
250,000 people affected by just this little nonprofit out of Austin, Texas that has how many employees? Wait till you hear this.
We have 3 full-time in Austin, 2 part-time in Austin, and 2 full-time in Kenya, and a board of interns.
That's amazing.
It gets better. So 65 wells. What is... You said that only 40%-ish succeed through the first year. What is your track record?
We have a 100% success rate. Wow. All projects that we've ever implemented are still up and running and functioning, giving clean water to the community.
Look, I was raised by a strong woman. And both mom and dad, but my mother's very strong, and she was here. She was like, well, of course, because women are running it. Right. That's what she would say.
That's a good point, because we work a lot, and mostly I would say with the women in the communities where we work, because they're the most affected by the lack of clean water. And they're the ones caring for their children who are suffering from the dirty water. So we work with them pretty intently to be able to design the system, and they're the ones who are overseeing the water committee. So that's interesting. Yeah, we have strong women on the other side too.
I want to get back to the why. I didn't get to this. Why did you do this? What made you go wake up one morning and say, quit the job, get rid of the house, blah blah blah, I'm going to do this?
Like, let's bring up the 9/11.
Yeah, thing too, well, I didn't.
I'm a fan of that.
Why did you get rid of the Porsche, burn everything, you know, and all that stuff? What did you, were you up late one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, saw one of these mission things, and like, what happened?
No. And I do still think about that car. I think I'm going to get it back one day. I was not happy doing what I was supposed to be doing in my career and in my life. I had gone to law school, and I worked for a couple of years in a finance firm doing compliance, and I came back to Austin and I worked for a firm here, but doing lobbying mostly.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it was exciting, and I was learning so much, but I was not a happy person. Coincidentally, too, my first 2 years in undergrad, I was a civil engineering major, and then in law school, I clerked for the EPA in clean water. These were weird coincidences. A friend of mine approached me and asked, this was fast forward when I was an unhappy person, asked me if I would help raise some money and set up the 501c3 for a nonprofit to be able to replace some livestock that were dying in this village in Kenya. And I wanted to help her, and I wanted to help the cause. And I got really obsessed with it, and I researched and I talked to people, and I realized that because of the horrible drought in Kenya at the time, that's why the livestock were dying. And in this community in particular, the disease rates were off the charts. The infant mortality was so high, and these women were walking all day for water. And I said, hey, you guys, this, you know, small group of friends, why don't we drill a water well instead? This is going to not just solve this livestock problem long term, but all of these other issues. And everybody just said, okay, Sarah, let's do that.
Wow.
So we had our first shower strike campaign and raised $25,000, and flew to Kenya a few months later and did the first well.
Wow. So how much does each well cost? It's probably a moving target, but whatever.
That's true. And that's a good question, though, because we do not have a template approach. So every single system is custom designed as per the community's plans for development and the topography and their history with aid. And so we just really get to know the community and the geology. And that's how we design a project. To answer your question, and we also do rainwater harvesting and pipelines. But to answer your question, it can cost anywhere between $10,000 and $40,000.
Okay. God, it's really not that much money.
No.
I don't mean that. I hope that doesn't sound insulting.
No, you're right. And average cost per person?
$10 gives one person clean water for decades. So,
isn't that crazy?
Simple.
One of the things I want to have you explain a bit more, because I don't think people connect the dots. Like, I think they connect the dots with disease and clean water. They connect the dots with people moving to the community, agriculture, of course. But I don't know if they make the connection on education. Mm. So I want you to talk more about that, about education and how it changes because of that, but also especially with girls.
Yeah. So, you know, little girls, when they hit puberty, you know, there's a lot of, you know, they need good hygiene, clean hygiene. And if there's no clean water, they don't have that. And they're also the ones helping their moms going to get the clean water. Mm-hmm. So if they don't have water nearby or clean water, they have to drop out of school because they're too dirty. It's looked down.
They're not allowed to come to school.
Yeah.
It's not like...
We go into a lot of communities where the kids get kicked out of school for being too dirty, mm-hmm. boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, I've kicked some of my employees out for being too smelly. That's totally different. I mean,
but not guests, right?
No, not guests.
Thank gosh.
Yeah. Wow, that's just I don't know. That's just, these are things that we don't think about. I want to bring up the very first TED Talk I ever saw. The very first one I ever saw, which I don't know, maybe that's what, 12, 13 years ago, was this guy that had this, it looked like a thermos. And he is explaining that in this thermos has this filter, and he takes dirty water and says that he can put it, and he does, puts it in there and says, going through this and how it does it, there's so many viruses, but they can't get, 99% of the viruses can't get through this filter. And I can solve all the world drinking water problems with this thermos thing. And I never heard it from the guy ever again. What happened? Like, I mean, is that...
He just wanted to do a TED Talk.
Like, but it was such a captivating TED Talk because you're like, there it is. We got problem solved. Like, it sounds to me like this happens in your industry. It's like, oh, we dug a well. Problem solved.
Oh, gosh. Every day. So I know the guy.
Oh, wow.
So but let me... I think he acknowledges and the industry acknowledges now that these, you know, small contraptions with lots of moving parts can be good in disaster response situations. They are not at all in any way good for development work, and nor should they be marketed as such. That said, you know, every week something else pops up that is supposed to be the magic bullet that solves the global water crisis. And then big companies are throwing lots and lots of dollars at these things. And it's a little heartbreaking for us, in the, you know, on the development side of things. But, you know, I mean, if you look at it a certain way, at least people are investing in what they think is going to solve the problem. And there is a slight shift in the industry toward being more responsible about technology that pops up that is supposed to be the solve.
How do you get kids here in Austin, Texas, to relate this? They've got fresh water. Why do I need to not take a shower? Like, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, you know, we have a pretty good classrooms program. And we spend a lot of time, our team and interns spend a lot of time going to classrooms to talk about these things. And we have, you know, age-appropriate materials to present the issue. First and foremost, kids love to not shower. So you say, hey, who wants to go on shower strike?
It's a free pass.
And everybody raises their hand. And then you say, okay, well, you know, we're going to do this fun thing because, you know, we want to be a part of changing the lives of other kids just like you on the other side of the world because they do not have this resource that we have that's just a few steps away in the kitchen from the faucet. And it's amazing to see these young people, and we've given presentations to even preschools, and to see the kids really sort of light up and understand that they can be a part of making another child feel better and, you know, helping to enable them to have something they don't have that these students do have. And it's just that it's the way that we put it, but we've seen classrooms just be incredible fundraisers and incredible ambassadors of the cause.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'm all out.
I mean, I know, I can keep asking. I can ask questions for days.
No. So let's get down to the matter at hand here. It's the shower strike is going on right now. You obviously take donations year round, but this is your big push this week.
Yep. It's our flagship campaign. And it was our very first fundraiser, and it worked. So we decided to keep doing it every year, and it's grown every year. And lots of people get involved, people from law firms and classrooms and people from big companies. We have one large company participating that has, how many teams do they have?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. But they have a bunch of leagues, and each league has five teams.
You should give them some love.
Spectrum Brands. They're an incredible partner of WellAware, and they've been supporting us. Glowfish originally, and then Spectrum acquired Glowfish and carried forward their philanthropy with WellAware into corporate. And they have 15 teams, probably more. I don't know. But
15, 20 teams. And they did Shower Strike last year, and it was their first year, and it was – just getting off the ground, and they were just learning about it. So they've really just amped up their efforts this year and are just doing amazing, amazing things.
So do you think when I ran the nonprofit, you start to sometimes look at things and go, which I did both. We started a thing called the Peloton Project where people could go out and raise money, and then they would get flown into Austin, get to meet Lance, mm-hmm. ride private ride with Lance, mm-hmm. do the whole event thing, and there's that, and that's the grassroots yeah. effort. And say one person could raise $8,000. You could also just go ask one person for $50,000.
Right.
And they would just give it. Mm-hmm. And which was great. Mm-hmm. But like when you look at this effort that you're doing, which is great, and it's teaching and education kids, but like when I hear $40,000 for a well, like I do know some people and also just write you a check for $40,000. Mm-hmm. Does that cross your mind, or do you do that?
First of all, she'd like to meet those people.
I'd love an intro, thanks.
Okay. No
worries. We do have those individuals and companies that participate in that way. And a lot of those individuals and companies have come out of Shower Strike because we get 2,000 plus individual donations these days via Shower Strike. And we do our cultivation after Shower Strike and make contact with people who seem like they might be interested in supporting us in a bigger way and cultivate that relationship. And then that will sometimes lead to more ongoing significant gotcha. Support.
And you have those big donors, it's one check, you know, you're done. And we have 300 plus people participating in Shower Strike who are all posting on social media, mm-hmm. sharing with their friends, sending emails. So it's just that awareness is growing mm-hmm. exponentially around this campaign.
Could you handle it if someone walked in the door tomorrow and said, here's $1 million?
Yes, we could.
Yeah. Really? But I mean, you couldn't though, could you? It would just take you longer to do all the wells.
Here comes
right?
the portion 911.
Here it is.
So
we've figured that part out. So, okay. And you know, we want well aware to scale, and we know that we can do a lot more work and grow a lot without compromising this beautiful model that we've created. What we want to do beyond that is share the model elsewhere more quickly. And also help the rest of the sector develop the processes that we have to create these really lasting systems. So we created a second company a couple of years ago called Well Beyond. And Well Beyond is now a little company full of...
Such a stretch from the original name.
Got real creative there.
The nonprofit creatives like, at work.
Mixing it up, too. I just need the one name for both of them now. But... Well Beyond is not a nonprofit, and we work with other NGOs consulting with them. And
no internal lingo here.
We NGOs. Do not know NGO.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
nonprofits. Also, to be able to scale more, even within Well Aware, we do not want to lose this a. connection with the communities, which is so key to success, as well as this maintenance and knowledge of the systems that is truly lacking in the sector. So I didn't mention it earlier, but we did our own study in 2014 and evaluated over 200 broken water systems in Kenya. And we discovered that the number one reason for failure was some kind of technical oversight, either in implementation or in management. And then a close number two was lack of true community involvement and training. So we've developed a software that puts this knowledge back into the hands of the community. So we do not have amazing hydrogeologists in rural Tanzania, but now we do have an app in Android where people can open up their app. It pre-populates with their system specs, and they can troubleshoot basic issues with the system, as well as do maintenance, regular maintenance to get in front of issues. So that might sound crazy, but... technology is expanding rapidly in Africa, East Africa in particular. Mobile-to-mobile banking is exploding, and more people in Africa have a cell phone than have access to a toilet. So this is something we can truly leverage to further empower these communities for greater success and faster scaling.
And selfies mm-hmm. with the water well.
Selfies and with the water
well. That's a given.
We haven't really given out the information. This is what's really important. Go to showerstrike.org if you'd like to donate. If this sounds like something you can get behind, I wouldn't have these people on if I didn't think it was a good place for your money to go. You can read more about it at wellawareworld.org, which is pretty cool. and just kind of read up on the info, but decide. I know it's challenging in this town of where people want to decide to give their money. You know, it's very competitive. Mm-hmm. People are very involved in their own projects or a mm-hmm. friend's project. Mm-hmm. This is a good one where you can spend your
money. When they're taking that bucket of ice water and dumping it on the head, you're just sitting there grimacing, aren't you? Like, you know what I mean?
You know,
like, try the opposite.
When that happened, I got my inbox blew up because people were just like appalled that everybody was wasting water for this challenge. And it's such a nominal amount of water. You know, just to make a pair of jeans, I think it takes 100 gallons of water. So I wrote a blog to respond to that.
That's like
wait, what's that, jeans? What?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, there's other things like this. Like, you ought to hear this. Like, I've read a little bit about this. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, to say it again. To
it takes 100 gallons of water to make one pair of jeans.
One pair
of
jeans.
Oh, my God.
And, like, to grow... what's the...
Beer is a lot, too.
The nuts. Yeah, like...
An almond
is like 5 gallons or something for every whatever, 2 almonds or something. Mm-hmm. I know, crazy stats mm-hmm. like this. You're
and
like,
think about
who cares about almonds, then?
You know? Think about how many you would shove in your mouth at once.
Oh, easily.
How many gallons of water is that? It's crazy.
So much water.
So much.
Should be so ashamed.
It's stupid. But see, this is educate. Like, when you read this stuff, then you're like, oh, man... I liked almonds. Now I'm not going to eat almonds.
I know.
You can shower strike to make up for all the almonds.
There you go.
Yes. There you go.
Excellent
There's
idea.
Your carbon offset. Okay.
Well, I'm telling you, people, donate. Get off your butts and donate.
Thank
and if
you.
You see...
I'm going to go do it right now.
A friend participating like me.
Mm-hmm. Do I need to give... Would it be better if I give to JB and then that way he feels comfortable about it?
Yeah, it's starting to smell in here a little bit. He needs to reach his fundraising goal.
Did you hear what she said, JB? She said, why not both? There, I now know she's a professional because once you learn, like, you just, like, you know how to ask for money.
Well, you know what's
frustrating? That's how you do it. I love it.
I've never shared on Facebook, hey, donate to this. I'm doing a fundraiser. If I just got half of what I've donated to other people over the years mm-hmm. with their projects that were near and dear to them,
mm-hmm.
it would be huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, who is looking at this post and not giving something because they know I donated to theirs?
They owe you.
It's making me mad. Yeah. It's making me really...
You know, it takes an average of 7 touches before you get a conversion. So you have 6 more posts.
More touches, please. More touches. Showerstrike.org, wellawareworld.org. That's Sarah Evans and Carice Sacco. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for
having us. Good luck this week. Getting all smelly.